AP Unfiltered writes off the rails, LOL. He's definitely referring to Sean. Don't worry, the whole egg and sperm conversation is over now. But
the turtle and the life preserver from now on
is way better. Okay.
The turtle and the life preserver.
Well, thank the Buddhist for that. But okay. I have been doing, it is not just so cool, the probability of us being here. Also, if you look at the magnificence of the human body, that itself is a miracle. All of the different functions that work together at the same time to make us functioning human beings, like and I will do segments, shows on things like skin, like the way that our skin is temperature regulated, the way that it is flexible so that we can like bend our arms and do things, but it also keeps in our blood and all of our organs. That is a trippy thing to learn about. How about the fact that we have 100,000 miles of blood vessels in our bodies? I could zoom in on any of these things, but just quickly, I want to talk about two. The brain and the eye. So let's start with the brain. It's fascinating for me to consider, how did people before scans, before the, you know, the immense amount of science and technology which tells us about our body, how did people understand the way different functions of ours worked? And so people back in history used to think, like in the BC era, they used to think that your intellectual activity lived in your heart. They kind of thought there was an organ up here. You could, even just by like touching your head, you can sort of feel something. You can surmise that there's something in your head, but people thought your intellectual activity came from your heart. And we may look back on that and go, oh my God, these people who didn't have science and scans, they were so primitive in thinking that intellectual activity came from your heart. That's actually not a crazy view, because think about how you process emotions, or think about how you process just everyday life. When you're shocked, you feel it right here. When you're happy, you feel it right here. When
people still exist. They're called Democrats.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's true. That is absolutely true. But it's not a crazy idea to have, you know, because you feel things so much here. But anyway, Aristotle was one of the first people to go, no, I think that you actually have a brain, and I think that's what actually is the hub of your intellectual activity. But anyway, it's cool to consider what people used to think. But let's just look at the design of the brain for a moment. So we have these two hemispheres, the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere, and then in the middle, it's put together by these nerves. Each side of your body is controlled by the opposite side of your brain. So if you're left-handed, you're right brain dominant. If you're right-handed, you're left brain dominant. And the way that it kind of works is apparently when you are growing in the womb, when that one sperm met that one egg and it was you growing in the womb, the way that your spine bends when the embryo, the fetus is growing, determines whether you're right or left brain dominant and thus are going to be right-handed or left-handed. But what's cool is that the two sides of the brain have two different functions that are actually quite complementary but very different. So again, let's look at the brain. The right side of the brain more so controls the big picture of things, whereas the left side of the brain is more focused on detail. And so like the right side of the brain, let's say you're entering a pizza store, the right side of the brain processes that you're in a pizza store. It kind of spatially orients you. And then it is the left side of the brain which enables you to zoom in and go, I want a pepperoni slice of pizza. So there's the big picture, what's going on side, but then there's the zoom in and detail oriented side. And so when you're talking, for instance, to give another example, the right side of the brain more so controls your tone and the way you come across and the way that you emotionally convey things. But the left side of the brain is the one which picks specific words that you say. And so I'll just say quickly, you know, Sean just made that joke about the Democrats and being heart controlled. There's this amazing article in the Epoch Times by Kenneth LaFave, and he's quoting the work of Ian McGilchrist. And this guy, Ian McGilchrist, compares the situation in the United States now to the left brain and the right brain. And he actually made a very Sean McConnell-esque argument where he said that the left in America is almost like a left side of the brain in isolation, where they're focusing on details without the greater context of the right side of the brain. And he said that's our problem, because we can't just, you know, eliminate cash bail laws. We can't just do student loan forgiveness. We can't just, you know, froth up certain ethnic and racial and religious identities and divide. Like, we can't do all of these things in isolation. We need a bigger purpose, a greater context in which to consider our decisions. And so anyway, I won't belabor this too much, but if you want to look up the article, it's great. One of the things that this author says, Ian McGilchrist, this is from his book, The Matter with Things. He says, quote, "The left brain aims to narrow things down to a certainty, while the right brain opens them up to possibility." That's literally the functions of your brain. And he's comparing that to the left and the right in America. The left pursues more certainty, where the right is more about possibility. Another example he gives is the left brain is principally concerned with the manipulation of the world, the right brain with understanding the world as a whole and how to relate to it. Pretty cool.
It's a miracle, according to you and the numbers, that we're born. It's also a miracle that we function every day. I don't know how you can hear all this stuff and not believe in God.
Totally. This is the thing, and this segment is not even intended to be like a whole science. You know, I could go into so many more details of the brain. It's just to plant that seed of amazement that our body works this way, and you so do need the right brain and the left brain. You know, interestingly, when people have damage on one side of the brain, one hemisphere, it affects. Sometimes they only operate with half of the world. So, for instance, let's look at this plate with pasta, okay? If you have right brain damage, remember, your right brain controls the left side of your body. So if you have damage to your right side of your brain, you have what's called left neglect. And so that's why on the plate, someone will eat the what's on the right side of their plate, but they'll neglect what's on the left side because they have right brain damage, which is causing them to not see or consider the left side. So that is literally the plate of someone who had right brain damage.
Really?
Yes. That is taken from a scientific journal that I found. Where you have right brain damage, you only eat half the plate. And they show that with clocks too. If you have certain right or left brain damage, you'll only draw one half of the clock, depending on which side is damaged.
So if I hit myself just right, I could lose weight?
You'd lose weight, but you'd lose a lot of other things too. But yes, that is true. Okay, so that's the brain. Quickly, in just a few minutes, let's just talk about the eye, which is equally amazing. So again, I'm fascinated. How did people understand the way our bodies worked before they had science and scanning and all of that to understand it? Well, in the BC era, people thought that everything in the world was made out of four elements: fire, water, air, and earth. And they thought that your body was no different. And so for hundreds of years, even up until the relatively present day, we only came to actually understand how the eye really works in like the 1700s. But for most of human history, people thought literally there was like fire behind your eyes. And when you looked out, you were pushing out light onto the world to see the world. And again, we think these people were so primitive, they didn't understand. It's actually not very illogical, because how else, if you have no understanding of science, how else do you explain how you see things? So this is called extramission. People thought that you had literally light beams in your eyes that were illuminating all of what you're seeing. We have a picture here of Medusa. That's the whole legend with Medusa. Medusa had the eye beams, and if you looked at her, she had particularly harsh eye beams that would turn you into stone. But people thought that everyone had extramission, What we now understand is that we have intromission, where essentially light is coming into our eyes, and that is how we see images, through things entering us and we're processing, as opposed to our eyes pushing out these rays to illuminate the world. And interestingly, one of the ways that we came to understand the eye is through telescopes and cameras, mainly telescopes, because cameras are a recent invention. But people looked at the way, like, zooming in and zooming out and images flipping happened on telescopes. And then they kind of likened those functions to the way the human eye works.
Yeah, don't we see things upside down and our brain flips it around for us?
Funny you should say that.
All in, like, a split second? I'm sorry.
Funny you should say, no, that's fine. It's funny you should say that, but that is exactly what happens. We see things upside down. But first, I just want to show, like, we have 2 million working functions in our eyes alone to help us see. Because it's this whole process. Light enters our eyes. We see things upside down. As you say, our brain turns it over in a second. Also, our eyes, each eye, we're kind of seeing different things. We're seeing things from different angles. Right now, as we're looking, it looks very unified to us, but that's because our brain is making it unified to us. If we took away our brain and just looked at the activity of our eyes in isolation, we would be A, seeing things upside down, and B, we'd be seeing, like, dozens of different angles of all of the different things that we're looking at. So here's a picture of the eye. It shows you what a complex process of this. The thing that we see, when I'm looking at Sean and into his beautiful eyes, I'm only seeing a sixth of his eye. The actual eye, look how enormous it is. We're only seeing our pupils in like the tip of it, really. It's actually way bigger behind us, and then there's a whole set of nerves which goes to the brain. But as I said, there are 2 million parts in total between the retina, lens, cornea, nerves, which make our eyes function and see the way that we see. And we differentiate, by the way, between 10 million different colors. Like, we don't realize it, but our brain differentiates between different shades of blue, different shades of black, different shades of gray, etc. And so, as Sean just said, we'll look at this image of how our brain sees things. We see things upside down because the light entering our eyes actually bends on our retina. And so that, it's kind of scientifically complicated. Honestly, it's not worth getting into, but it's the way we process light. It flips on our retina. So we're literally seeing something upside down. And then all of those 2 million parts come together, flip that object over so we see it right side up, and unifies all of the different angles that we're seeing things to make a comprehensible image. On that note, if you don't believe in God, I don't know how to help you. Goodbye. No.